This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A few months ago, Austin, just up the road from San Antonio, was the first city in the South to pass an ordinance requiring local businesses to provide sick leave. For up to 45% of employees in the state of Texas do not have paid sick leave. This means when someone in the house gets sick, maybe that person or someone they have to care for, they have to make a tough choice whether to go to work or stay home and care for that person and miss a day's pay. What if you can't afford to miss a day's pay? That's why this is a tough choice. We're going to be talking about that this afternoon. Should San Antonio be looking hard at a similar ordinance? Also, the state of Texas says this is unconstitutional. They're saying that this violates the minimum wage provisions that the state has and other issues. So what do you think? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. With me in the studio today to talk about this is Jose Garza. He's the executive director of the Workers' Defense Project. Also on the line is Robert Hennecke. He is the general counsel and the director of the Center for the American Future at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Elise Gold is with us, the senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. And again, the number to call in, 210-614-8980. And tell us what you think about bringing this ordinance to San Antonio. Would you support it? Would you be opposed to it? We certainly want to hear from small business owners and from people who have to make these types of decisions all the time. Now, Jose Garza, with the Workers' Defense Project, you have a petition out right now seeking signatures to bring this to City Council. What's going on there?
Well, a coalition of local organizations, including Move San Antonio, Texas Organizing Project, a number of small businesses have said that every person who works in San Antonio should have the opportunity to earn paid sick time and to use that time to care for themselves or a loved one. They have said that no one in San Antonio should have to choose between taking a day off when they get sick, or I'm sorry, going to work when they get sick, or taking a pay cut. And so what they have done is begun a process here in San Antonio where they are talking directly to voters in the city about this policy, and they are giving them the opportunity to put this policy before City Council and potentially on the ballot in November. And so the people of San Antonio will have the opportunity to decide for themselves what makes most sense for their families. And we think that that is the represents the very best of democracy, the very best of our community here in San Antonio, and we're really excited about this process.
So at the very least, we should be having a public discussion about the circumstances that many people in our community have to face. A lot of people aren't even aware that this is what goes on. So yeah, we should know about this and we should talk about this. And but it's still an open question whether or not these decisions can be made at this local level. Let's go to Robert Hennecke. He's the general counsel and director for the Center for American Future at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And can you weigh in, sir?
I'd be glad to, and thank you for having me today. At the Texas Public Policy Foundation, I am the lead counsel for a coalition of business and business interests that have actually now gone to court to challenge the lawfulness of the ordinance recently adopted by the city of Austin. And the first point to make is just from a rule of law perspective that cities are prohibited from doing this, doing what Austin did, doing what San Antonio is considering. Cities in Texas cannot conflict with Texas state law. And the state of Texas has adopted the Texas Minimum Wage Act, which ties the state minimum wage to the federal amount set under federal law. And that includes, as part of wages, benefits, including paid sick leave. And so with what the cities are trying to do by mandating paying employees for time where they are not working, which is paid time off, that pushes the compensation to a minimum wage employee above the ceiling that has been set by the state of Texas and violates state law. So it's beyond the city's authority to do so. That's one of the issues that we've raised.
So, okay, so that's one issue. Let's take a look at that issue, and it helps to go through these things one at a time. So Jose Garza, is that the way you see it?
Well, let's be clear about what's happening here. This is, quite frankly, a desperate political attack on Texas families.
Address his, what he said. Is this a violation of the minimum wage act?
Absolutely not. This is a tortured legal argument that somehow providing paid sick time, and I want people to listen to this. This is the argument they're making, that providing paid sick time is a violation of the minimum wage law. People understand for themselves that those two things are not related. It's also worth pointing out as a legal matter that the NFIB, who is a party to this lawsuit, who is supported by the out-of-state special interests like the Koch brothers, have used this strategy before in other states across the country. They have brought this very same lawsuit.
Yeah, but that's not helpful for talking about which
one. Well, I think it is because this very lawsuit has been rejected by other states around the country.
But Texas, you know, we got our own deal here. We got our own judges. So that's why we have judges, is to figure this out. So you're saying that there is, in the law as it is written now, there is nothing directly that says Texas, that cities cannot require paid sick leave, right?
That's absolutely right.
Okay. And so we're hearing from the Texas Public Policy Foundation with Robert saying that they interpret the law differently, right? So Elise Gold, with the senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute, what's the upside, looking at this from an economist point of view, or the downside for having paid sick leave?
Well, I think the evidence is clear, and thanks for bringing me in as an economist. I know the lawyers have, you know, other legal matters to talk about. The economic evidence is absolutely clear. The overwhelming economic data supports providing workers access to paid sick time, and there's three reasons for that. One is that it promotes safe and healthy work environments by reducing the spread of illness and workplace injuries, and I can get into detail on that. The second is it reduces health care costs because workers taking paid sick time are more likely to take preventative measures, and they can get to their medical appointments rather than waiting until after work hours, and less likely to use costly hospital emergency services. And the third reason is it helps working adults fulfill caregiving responsibilities and reducing work-family conflict.
So through a pure practical point of view, if regardless of who has the authority to grant this ability, this requirement for businesses, that this does benefit the overall economy? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. It will benefit families, workers, and any costs to employers are rather minimal and can actually be reversed by increased productivity, reduction in presenteeism, and, you know, you have workers that aren't going to spread disease and are going to be less prone to mistakes if they can take time off when they're sick.
And that's just looking at the dollar.
Industries that you... I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that just looks at the dollars and cents of it, and then there's the humanitarian aspect of it as well.
Yes, absolutely. And you think about the kinds of industries that are least likely to have paid sick days, least likely for workers to be able to earn that paid sick time. Think about things like food preparation and service-related occupations, personal care and service occupations, those occupations where people have frequent contact with the public. And that has public health implications. In Texas, only 22% of those employed in food preparation and serving in those related occupations have access to earned paid sick days. So you think about those public health implications are quite large.
All right. We're going to continue the conversation. We want to hear what you think. Should San Antonio pursue a requirement for local businesses to offer paid sick leave to its employees and also stand up or deal with the state of Texas, which is probably going to push back on that? The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The restaurant chain Chipotle now has paid sick leave for its employees. Well, that came about after an actual event that happened there where people were getting sick going to Chipotle restaurants, and they decided it was best for their employees and for their patrons to tell their employees, if you stay home, if you're sick, you'll get paid. Don't worry about that. And they're seeing results, and they haven't heard anything about any more people getting very ill visiting that restaurant. So it seems to make sense for them, but it's their choice, and they made that business decision. So, you know, should businesses make the choice, or should they be required to do so? That's what we're talking about here, because Austin made this decision, the city council. Should San Antonio City Council make a similar decision? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. 1-800-273-8080. So Jose Garza, the executive director for the Workers' Defense Project, and why didn't you just go to the city council and say, we want this on the, you know, take this up on the dais? Why go through the petition?
So there are, I think, approximately 40% of people living and working in San Antonio right now who have to make the really difficult choices that we talked about. And for those folks, this issue is urgent. I can't even begin to express the urgency that, you know, that they are feeling around this issue.
And look at the flu we had.
We had a massive flu epidemic just a couple of months ago. And so what we have, the city charter has laid out a process for people here in San Antonio to participate directly in their democracy, to make their voices heard. And we think that that is an absolutely crucial vehicle and role for people to play. We believe strongly that working people in this town know best what they need in their lives, know best what they need to support their families, and are smart enough to make the decisions about how to make those changes. So we're having a conversation directly with people in the city. And I should say that city council will have an opportunity
to
weigh in.
So how are you collecting these petitions, these signatures?
We are out on the streets with a clipboard talking to people about the issue and asking them to put this issue to city council.
And where are you now in this petition drive, and how many do you need?
So I believe, I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, we need a little over 60,000 signatures. We are well on our way, and I am confident that we will collect the signatures we need and should be turning them into city council in the near future.
All right, and I understand we now have Robert Hennecke back with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And sir, can you give us more of the points that you wanted to make? And I cut you off earlier, and let's get back to that item, that list of why you think this is a bad idea.
Sure. You know, to start with, to quote Milton Friedman, you know, the Nobel Prize winning economist said that one of great mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than their results. And I'll point out that there has been no Texas specific, no San Antonio specific, no Austin specific research or study that has been done on this issue. When these statistics are put out there by Jose or by Elise, what they're doing is they're taking national broad estimates and they are just applying them proportionately to cities in Texas and claiming that as fact. But if you look at actual studies that have been done on this issue, they show the opposite about what's being claimed by Ms. Gould and Mr. Garza. For example, in 2011, the Institute for Women's Policy Research did a study of the San Francisco paid sick leave ordinance. And one of the things that their study found was that employees going to work sick actually increased slightly after the adoption of the paid sick leave ordinance. So it dispels this myth that this avoids employees going to work sick. Additionally, the study of the San Francisco paid sick leave ordinance, I'm talking about actual data here, not just, you know, hypotheticals or you know, anecdotes. It found that in response to the paid sick leave ordinance, it decreased workers' vacation time. Businesses converted vacation time to paid sick days. It reduced employees from getting raises or bonuses. And a third of employers that were surveyed reported having to have layoff or reduced hours in response to the paid sick leave ordinance. Let's talk about facts and data here, not just about estimates about what may happen. And if we're going to take a serious look at this here in Texas, we need to do some real analysis and study, and let's have that debate based on facts and not just based on conjecture.
All right. Elise Gould with the Economic Policy Institute, can you tell us what the facts are from your point of view as an economist and what has happened in places where they have put these regulations in place?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to respond. I'm glad that San Francisco was brought up. San Francisco was the first jurisdiction to get a paid sick days standard to have this worker's ability to earn sick days, and that happened back in 2007. And there were fears that the law would impede job growth, and those fears were never realized. In fact, during the 5 years following its implementation, employment in San Francisco actually grew twice as fast as in neighboring counties. I don't know what other economic research you can bring to bear that would be a stronger case than that. You look at what's happening in one area where the law changed. You look at neighboring areas where the law hasn't changed. And what you see that San Francisco's job growth was actually faster. And it was faster even in those sectors like food service and hospitality where you see larger numbers of small businesses you might think might be harmed and those that are viewed as vulnerable to additional costs. So you look at this kind of an example and this kind of research, and yes, there is no research about what happened before and after a paid sick days law was enacted in Texas because it hasn't happened yet. So the best we can do as economists is to look at other areas where this has happened.
Okay, let me go to the callers. Number is 210-614-8980. And Albert is on the line. Albert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me. My comment is, I don't think it's, now, being that I might be for it because it would be beneficial for people to actually have that to lean on, like you mentioned with the flu epidemic where you had a large amount of people in and out of work, you know, just cycling out. It's you're getting the government involved in private businesses, which I don't agree with at all. But if it's a government facility, and I don't know whether they do or they offer paid sick leave, I would assume so. But in the private sector, I don't think it's a great idea to go ahead and allow the government to step into their choices and go ahead and, you know, dictate whether they need to provide this or not.
All right, Albert, thank you for the call. So Jose Garza with the Workers' Defense Project, the public and a public business, but not a privately owned business and not the government owned business. I mean, what about those types of regulations?
Well, you know, what we know about San Antonio and increasingly more cities in the state of Texas is that San Antonio is one of the most economically segregated cities in the country. It is increasingly a city of haves and have-nots. And, you know, I think when I hear this argument, what I hear is that the haves should be able to decide for working people when they get to take a day off, when they get sick. And from our perspective, everyone in the city works hard. Everyone should be able to earn the opportunity to take a day off when they get sick. It's a question of basic values and basic decency. We've heard the overwhelming data and information about why it's good for public health, about why it's good for the economy. The average Texas family, when they miss work for 3 days and don't get paid for those days, missing that work means that they can't buy groceries for a month. And so, you know, these are all choices we have to make. When people can't buy groceries for a month, that has real implications for the rest of our social services as a city. And so, you know, I think this is obviously a more humane and fair way to handle those issues and to give people that opportunity.
And Jose and Robert Henneke?
Well, sure. To jump in there, first of all, the statement, can't buy groceries for a month, that's a completely made up fact that was just thrown out there. But one of the things I want to point out in response, though, look at here, the city of Austin.
It's not made up.
And if Mr. Garza said was true, then why is the city of Austin looking to exempt unionized employers from the ordinance, which is what the ordinance does here, in taking that entire category of union employers and making them not exempt or making them exempt from the policy here? The fact is, in Austin and most of the markets in Texas, with our booming economy, you already have high competition for qualified workers. And most employers in Texas do take care of their workers, but they do so in a way that's flexible and that meets the realities of those specific business. You know, leave is one of the various aspects of a compensation package. And employers should be free to be able to attract employees by offering various terms of employment, whether it's more pay or maybe it's paid leave or vacation time or something else. But it can't be a one size fit all.
So I just want to get clear about what your argument is, Mr. Henneke. So you are opposed to this from cities enacting this ordinance because you think the state should have the state has that power and not cities, and then you would be opposed to it if the state tried to create a law that would give a statewide paid sick leave. Is that it?
So I think, first of all, we need to base policies on facts rather than anecdote. And I think that the best outcome for employers and employees is to allow the competition to happen in the free market, where you will have better results for employers and workers from the competition for qualified employees, rather than any kind of one-size-fit-all regulatory scheme that, you know, as the caller referred to a couple minutes ago, really doesn't take into account private business. And so cities can't do it because they're preempted by Texas state law. But I think that the current state of the Texas economy provides the best results, and there is not the data to show that there would be a need for a statewide regulation to come in and enforce this mandate on employers all across Texas.
And Jose Garza, you said that was not a made-up story about having to skip groceries for a month because they missed 3 days of work.
Yeah, let me just be clear about a couple of things. First of all, it is factually inaccurate to say that the Austin ordinance exempts unions from this policy. That's just not true. The second thing to say is that what the data shows is that the amount of money that a family loses out on when they have to miss 3 days of work is the equivalent of what it takes to buy groceries for a month. So, you know, Mr. Henneke's point is well taken. Maybe they didn't choose not to buy groceries in a month. Maybe they choose not to pay their rent or pay some other bill. But it is absolutely true that there is a real cost when people are forced to take a day off and take a pay cut.
I mean, it's a fact that if you don't have paid sick leave and if you don't go to work because you're sick, then you don't make that money and you have less money in a household budget and you have to make cuts. And if you don't have savings and if you're living paycheck to paycheck, then you got to make tough choices. So, Robert Henneke, does that sound factual to you? And did we lose him again? Okay. All right. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to try and get this ironed out over the course of the next couple of minutes. And we'll get Elise Gould back into the conversation when we come back as well. We're talking about paid sick leave, and they passed an ordinance in Austin. And that ordinance says that you get 1 hour of one sick hour per every 30 hour that you worked. You can earn up to 64 hours over the year, and those hours carry over unused hours to year. Is that something that we should have here in San Antonio? Some say that this would create a more a healthier population. States that have these types of laws in place see less flu outbreaks and other contagious disease spreading. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, and we continue after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. For a lot of people, if you call in sick, you get some hours and you get that written off and your paycheck and you're fine. You're going to get that taken care of because your business takes care of you. But for a lot of other people, most people, they don't get that. They have they don't show up for work that day because they're sick or they got to take care of a sick child. They don't get paid that day, so that's a tough choice. So what should we do about that? Should San Antonio join this trend of cities and states across the country requiring paid sick leave? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And Ashley is on the line. Ashley, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I have been working in the service industry as a server since I was about 18. And this is a very important issue to me because I've worked a lot of shifts where I had the flu or something, and it's dangerous. And so my question is, how would it work for servers who get paid $213 an hour? What would the hourly rate be for paid sick leave? And how would that affect like vacation days? Because we don't get vacation days.
All right. Thank you for that, Ashley. And Jose Garza, do you want to respond? How does it impact servers?
Well, the law is clear that everyone has to make a minimum wage. It is true what Ashley is referring to is the a special provision of the law, not of the paid sick ordinance, but a federal law that applies to restaurant servers and others called the tipped minimum wage. And under that law, someone like Ashley can earn less than the federal minimum wage so long as the tips that she receives at the end equal the minimum wage. So she still has to earn a minimum wage under the law, and this ordinance wouldn't change that. She would be required to be paid the minimum wage, at least the minimum wage, for days when she is sick.
And but typically when you're a server, you're not depending on your wage, your paycheck. You're looking at your tips, actual tips. And so, and then frequently, and you're in a restaurant, and if you're sick, they expect the wait staff to figure it out among themselves. If you have to swap out hours, you have to call another employee and say, hey, can you take my shift? I'm sick, or my child's sick, and you got to deal with it among themselves. But so it seems like, though, this is one of those cases where Robert Henneke was talking about from the Texas Public Policy Foundation, that this is a one-size-fits-all type of solution. You know, restaurants are very different. Is that right, Robert?
Well, it is. And again, you know, I would point out that if you don't have the job in the first place, then really, you know, this debate is academic. And where you're seeing is more of these mandates are attempted to be forced onto employers. You're having, you know, employers respond by automating certain type services. A lot of that's happening in the food service industry, which is why I mentioned that the study on the San Francisco ordinance was that it was specifically in, you know, resulting in people being laid off and losing their hours. So, you know, I think the point on this is, you know, it kind of depends, and it shouldn't be just a across-the-board mandate, because that doesn't take into the account the realities of different types of businesses and the demands that are met. And the demands on the business to stay open, to stay profitable, to be able to, you know, serve its customers, but also to be able to support the employees that it has, you know, working there. So it's a much more broad and complex issue than just, I think, you know, one day of paid leave for someone who falls ill.
Elise Gold, senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. Can you address that issue that Robert Henneke brought up about employers switching to more automation? You can see that now in some McDonald's places where you walk in and you're walking up to a board, a light board, and picking out your menu, no longer going through a clerk.
Well, we can talk about that as a whole subject of a whole another hour, whether or not the robots are taking over. And the data is pretty clear that that's not happening. And I'd like to reiterate, in San Francisco, again, the job growth was actually faster in the food service and hospitality sector than in neighboring counties after that paid sick days ordinance was taken effect. So I think that there's some misunderstanding of those facts there. Another thing I wanted to point out was that the first caller we had was talking about what governments do. And I think it's really important and sort of interesting to think about whether or not Texas state and local governments, what are they doing with their employees? And it is clear that in Texas, state and local governments recognize the importance of paid sick days to their workers and their families. Because what you find in Texas is that 86% of state and local government workers have access to paid sick time. So those workers are able to earn paid sick time, and yet in the private sector, only 57% of workers can. So state and local government officials, those who set policy, recognize that this policy is valuable, and yet that does not carry over in the same way to the private sector.
But Elise Gold, that caller who brought up the question about how can the government make this sort of requirement for my private business, the government makes all sorts of requirements for private businesses when they come in contact with the public in regards to public health. That's why we have, you know, health inspections and other requirements for these businesses to make sure that they're not spreading disease. Is this something that would fall under that?
Yes, absolutely. You're going to require employees to wash their hands before returning to work to serve food. You'd also like them to not be coughing all over that food. That's exactly right. That's a really good point. We do all sorts of things to protect the public from disease, and this would be one of those things. This is definitely would be called for in terms of one of those things. People that not only work with food, people who work with the elderly, with children. There are many professions where people come in contact with the public, and oftentimes a more vulnerable public And we would not want disease to be spread that way.
So Robert Haneke, the Texas Public Policy Foundation, can you respond if you think that having a ordinance like this, I know you disagree with the premise that these cities can do it, and I know you disagree with the fact that you think the government should put, and if any government should put these requirements on, but do you think that they make, they protect the public a little bit from health, their public health?
Well, to start with, too, let's talk about this in the full context of the City of Austin ordinance that I think San Antonio is looking to adopt, that it's a lot broader in what is mandated for time off than just when someone is ill. For example, here in Austin, it mandates that an employee be able to use this paid sick leave in order to move, or if their roommate is moving, that they can take time off to be able to help the roommate to move. And so, you know, to answer your question, I think, first of all, I want to make the point that we need to look at what sick leave is. It's part of the compensation package that's offered to an employee. You know, it's not a bonus. And when you talk about public employees, when you talk about other businesses, you know, there's trade-off there. And what, you know, paid sick leave goes towards is, you know, one of the many benefits that should be free to be able to be negotiated between the employer and the employee. You know, maybe an employee would want to negotiate a higher hourly wage rather than to have a benefit, and they should have that freedom to do so. But to come back to your question again, I'll point back to the data that's out there about how this has been looked at in other jurisdictions, and I'll go back to the report and study on the San Francisco policy that, in terms of the impact after that ordinance was put into place, the instances of employees who are actually ill going to work actually increased after the adoption of this paid sick leave policy. So it hadn't been documented to show that this will actually result in ill employees staying home as opposed to going and doing their job.
Statistics that show that states that have implemented paid sick leave have fewer cases of the flu.
I can't speak to that. I haven't seen that. I don't think there's
okay.
You're talking about.
Let me go to Jose Garza on that. So is this a public health issue?
It's absolutely a public health issue. And you are right about the facts and the data that in places where this policy has been adopted, we have seen is up to a 7% drop in the incidence of flu rates. The other thing that I want to point out is, you know, what I think I hear Mr. Haneke suggesting is that all working people have the power and opportunity to negotiate their wages and the terms and conditions of their employment. And what we see in the economy is that that is just not true, right? As we see the mass accumulation of wealth in the 1% while wages stagnate for the rest of us who are punching a clock, that's not because that's what people have negotiated.
Right. So when you go, when you apply for the job at the fast food restaurant and you go to the office of the manager, and he's got the cases of styrofoam cups in there and he's got his little tiny desk and he doesn't say, and he said, you're trying to negotiate with him. He's going to say, listen, this is all I got. Take it or leave it. You know, and that's the negotiation. Let me go to Robert G., a caller. The number is 210-614-8980. Robert G., welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much. I think it's a great idea, too, especially here in San Antonio that we have so many hospitality workers that really do a wonderful job for our community as far as supporting this hospitality industry that does so much for San Antonio, to support them when they're sick. And so if they're sick, they have to take a day off to help them or pay them so that we can have a healthier situation for our visitors. I just think it's a wonderful idea. I think that I hope San Antonio adopts it.
All right. And so, Elise Gold, economist, is there any evidence that shows that cities adopting these types of policies do benefit, they say, the tourist economy? People want to know that their employees are treated well.
Right. I think that what is really clear is that it is a very low cost of business. Robert was talking about how the economy is robust in Texas. These costs could be easily absorbed When we looked at what happened in Connecticut, that was the first state to enact a paid sick day standard in 2011. There were businesses that were very concerned before the passage, as they are concerned about many things that have often wind up having very little effect. They gave Connecticut employees the right to earn up to paid up 5 days of paid sick days. And
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk more about that and other issues regarding paid sick leave, whether or not San Antonio City Council should adopt this. When we come back, the number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Do you think that if you work over 40 hours of work in a week, you should make a time and a half? Do you think that you should be able to get Christmas off or 4th of July, or if you do have to work those days, that you should be paid a little bit extra? Do you think you should only have to work 40 hours a week? If you don't have to, shouldn't be forced to work more, you know, have a weekend. Well, what do you think about if you're sick, do you have to go to work, or you should be able to stay home and get paid? That's an issue that Austin decided on, the city council. They put in a paid sick leave ordinance just a few months ago. San Antonio, the city council has not taken this up, but there's a petition out there asking them to do so. What do you think? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And Scott is on the line. Scott, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was just calling in as I listened to the paid sick leave discussion. I'm actually a small business owner here in San Antonio and just took over a business. And when I took over, all the employees were at minimum wage. And I've been really pushing to get them to $10 an hour more. But, you know, a policy like this, paid sick leave, well, I can see the benefit for the workers. The economic reality for me and my business is I evaluate the cost I can afford. And so if I'm mandated a new benefit, that's just going to be impacted by me making wage adjustments for my employees. It'll probably drive their wages down just a little bit to compensate for the cost.
All right. Thank you for that great call. Appreciate hearing from the small businesses. So Jose Garza with the Workers' Defense Project, and you're pushing this proposal. What about the impact on small businesses? They got to make it work.
Yeah, let me make a couple of points, and I really appreciate that caller's perspective. So there are currently over 41 jurisdictions, so that's state and local governments across the country, who have adopted some form of paid sick time policy. And what we have seen in all of those places is that small businesses have continued to thrive and grow. Elise has talked about the data in San Francisco specifically. There's other data to support that notion across the country. The state of Arizona, the state of New Jersey recently passed this kind of policy. That's the first thing. The second thing is that this is a Texas-grown policy that we are talking about that was debated in Austin, where businesses and small businesses had the opportunity to weigh in. And through the course of those discussions, some changes were made to the policy to account for the concerns of business owners. And I want to point out two. The first is that for employers who employ 15 employees or less, there is a smaller number of days that they will be required to provide to the people with whom they work. The second is that for really small businesses who employ five or less, they have the lower days threshold, and then they have a two-year implementation delay so that they will have time to figure out how to make this.
So there's a transition.
There's a transition period. And then here's the final point I want to make. You know, we talked about the implications for pay, and I just want to go back to the point that right now the reality is that the folks who work for the gentleman who just called in have to take a pay cut right now when they get sick. And so this is going to put a little bit money back into their pocket.
Okay, so Robert Henneke, Texas Public Policy Foundation, the impact on small businesses.
So, I think Mr. Garza's response to your caller was tough. You know, you just have to, you know, eat that cost to your business, which I think is callous and doesn't take into consideration the importance that businesses have in providing jobs to workers. You know, talking about Austin, it's not true that businesses had a chance to weigh in here. The city of Austin really rammed this through. There was only 30 days total between when the first draft of the ordinance was proposed and when the final ordinance was adopted.
You had the Austin Chamber of Commerce. You had hundreds of business owners that came to the city of Austin.
So we can talk about Austin's process and all the flaws in there, but that's, you know, let's talk about what this, how this impacts small businesses. Is this really going to be onerous? Will small businesses be forced to cut employees, cut wages, or close down because they have to deal with this?
Yes, they will. And I think you heard right there from the caller's perspective of he is trying to pay his employees more. And he told you from his first-person perspective, I may not be able to do that if I'm forced to take on the burden of this mandated additional requirement imposed by the city of Austin. I think with businesses that are startups or small that have a few employees, this is, you know, disparately impacts them. And at the end of the day, the business has to stay in the black, and they have to be able to afford to pay for their employees, or they've got to cut jobs to make ends meet.
Go ahead. That point. So let me go to Elise Gold. She's an economist. So do we know, does this hurt one particular business over another, or impact one particular business over another? And if you have this requirement for an entire city, isn't these requirements as because everyone has to meet them that no one really has a competitive advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to level the playing field. So for those who can offer it now, have been offering it, other businesses like them that they're competing with are now going to also offer it. I think there's a couple of points that affect businesses as well. When you think about small businesses, you think about businesses that are going to have to allow their employees to earn this paid sick time, is that people actually, on average, take fewer days than they're offered. So all of the days that you're required to provide are not going to be taken by employees. The data is very clear about that. Also, you can actually have increases in productivity. You have fewer people coming to work sick, and they have more attention to be able to be at work when they're actually there. You can also have lower turnover, and that is extremely costly, especially for small businesses. So you can save money in the long run.
Let me go to caller. This is David. And David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks. My comment is we do great things, make great tax incentive packages available to businesses that are going to move headquarters or move a big office here with lots of employees. It seems to me we could balance that out by also making sure that on the corporate side, if they're going to have a great incentive and a tax package to save them money over years, that we can also balance that out by making sure that all of our workers have some basic needs covered. A little bit of justice, I think, on the worker side, which I think is in order.
All right, let me go to Kevin. And Kevin, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've heard Mr. Hemke say that when they get a benefit to use sick leave, paid sick leave, that all of a sudden there's an increase in that use of that benefit. Well, that's just a natural phenomenon of so an employee who's never had a benefit, who has to show up work, sick because he can't afford to take off, and then they get this benefit that they're going to use it more. And that's my comment.
All right. And Jose, let me get Jose on the air. Hey, buddy, you're on the air.
Hey, real quick, just wanted to get my opinion on the whole comment about the groceries and it being made up. I work in the inspection industry. I'm a manager, and I have technicians that get paid well above the minimum, federal minimum wage, and they're still trying to come in sick, saving their days because their days are not only for them but for their family in any emergency, correct? So they constantly do that, and I constantly push them off and actually tell them, you know what, okay, don't use your sick day, but I will give you extra hours next time, but please stay home and take care of whatever you need or get healthy. So those extra hours or extra sick time, even for people that already have sick time, is, I think, is a very well deserved, in my opinion.
All right, Jose, thank you for the call. So Robert Hennecke, talk about, just make the case again. I want to give you free skate. Make the case, but also talk about what the state legislature is going to do. I'm pretty sure you think they're going to shut this thing down, right? But to make your case again why you think this is a bad idea.
Sure. So to start with, I mean, at the high level, I think anything that San Antonio is looking to do needs to wait for now, wait to see how the pending lawsuit turns out, wait to see how the Texas legislature handles this when they come into session in January. Because if there's going to be a policy adopted, it's really best for the entire Texas economy for it to be addressed on a statewide basis rather than there to be this patchwork quilt of regulations depending on cities and different cities having different policies and so forth. But you know, at the end of the result, and I think the caller's comment, you know, just in some ways helped to make the point that employers already take into consideration what's best for their workers, already provide flexibility, already provide accommodations, but they do so in a way that works for their business. You know, the reference that he made to letting a sick worker pick up extra hours, you know, later on to make up for that time, that's great. I think that business is doing the right thing, and that business is doing the right thing now without being forced to do so by the government. But when you put these mandates in across the board on all businesses, it's going to have a negative impact on the economy. It's estimated in Austin that this ordinance will have a $140 million negative economic impact here in Austin. And the end result of that
is that a fact, or is that something that that's come from a projection?
Well, that was what was published by the Austin Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, so that's a projection. Let me go to Jose Garza to respond.
Well, I mean,
we got 1 minute.
Sure. I think my tocayo Jose said it best. I mean, and he laid out a real world example of why this matters. And the notion that, oh, it's okay, you just get to work extra hours next week. Mr. Henneke has no idea what the impacts are for that person on his family, whether he's missing T-ball practice or whatever the case may be when he just has to pick up extra hours. This is a really basic conversation that we're having. Should people who work be able to take a day off when they get sick? We believe that they should, and the people of San Antonio are going to have the opportunity to weigh in on that question, and eventually the city council will have an opportunity to weigh in on that question. And respectfully, for people like Jose and all of the callers who have called in, they can't wait. The governor has made it clear that, you know, he's focused on more divisive issues. People need real solutions now.
All right. So that was Jose Garza. He's the executive director of the Workers' Defense Project. They're currently in the middle of a signature campaign with petitions trying to bring to the San Antonio City Council a proposal for paid sick leave, a requirement for all businesses in the city of San Antonio. We heard from Robert Henneke. He's the general counsel and director of the Center for American Future at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And he expressed his concern about these types of requirements. And Elise Gold is with us. She's a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.